Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, Cheeto himself. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin. Here we are, Wednesday Comics Podcast. Comic book podcast about all things comic books. We talk about... Oh, did you hear that? Shh, if you be quiet, you can hear it in the background. I didn't show it, by the way. There we go. 2024, Alex, brand new year, brand new time for comics, and later we're going to be talking about some books we're looking forward to in the upcoming 2024. What do you think about 2000? You know, Alex, I like to think of you as a psychic, and what are your predictions?
It's going to be there. Yep. It's just going to be there. You know what? We've had okay years in the past. I imagine 2024 is going to look like most of them. Just think we're already 4 days in, almost 5 days in. And whether or not it is treating you well or not, the year does not give a shit. It's going to do what it wants. So you're here for the ride. It owns the town.
You're here for the ride. It owns the town. I believe that's what Elvis said in his song, Lone Man City, back in 1952. So I believe you. I believe you also. So speaking of comic books, the year 2024, we're talking about a different landscape of comics here. And I feel like it's a world that in which... here we
go. Hey, guest host one, back alive from the dead. How are we doing, Wednesday Comics fans?
Here we are from the entertainment capital of the world, the entertainment king himself, Mr. K-Walls 360. How you doing?
You know,
hashtag guest host one, at least you got an intro. I didn't even get introduced today.
Oh, you didn't? Well,
no.
I thought I did. I said
you got to subscribe for the bronze Patreon tier.
That's that. Right.
Did I not say to my left, GW?
You did not. So the don't worry. Hashtag guest host one got intro. I'm here too.
I'm pretty sure I could.
Wednesday comic fans, remember for.
Oh, you did. You did intro me.
Yeah, I did.
For $13, right. you get a minute of my time. For $13 for Garrett's bronze Patreon channel, you get 1 hour of his time.
Indeed.
There's a difference, Garrett. The reason we don't remember your intro is that your intro was much shorter than Corey's intro about his Patreon.
Hey.
That's true.
Hey.
Is that my intro?
No, we're saying you talking was your intro.
Oh, okay.
You are your own theme song, Corey.
You're not incorrect, Corey. There was a bit of music too, so that you can claim that if you would like to. But
push your tail in it. Yeah, that's my life.
Corey giving you a call. Curious if you've seen the Aquaman 2.
Absolutely not.
A movie making, I believe, 1/5 of its budget back over the course of 3 weeks.
Might I say, pun intended, it shit the bed?
What's the pun?
Yeah, you mean it sunk or what?
Oh, you mean like the ocean
like Amber Heard shit on a bed?
Oh, that's bed.
Come on.
That's good.
That's good. Thank you.
It's a little dated, but it's good.
We have that came out recently. We have Marvel with What If on Disney Plus, Season 2. The whole season's out, and actually, Corey, I'm not sure if I misremembering this or if it was something that slipped by the cracks of old Saint Nick, but I just saw that actually season 3 is not too far away. Like they kind of did it so that they would come out right after each other. Was that planned or that was a surprise? Do you know?
I think it was mostly a surprise. Nobody really knows what the animation department, because I mean, we've still been teased forever about the Spider-Man prequel cartoon, which who knows where that's at. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow, you guys film back to back. So
let me look at the date here, because I believe it actually is coming up very, very soon. They made it.
Oh, I thought it's still, but I'm thinking to do it just a year later.
Not even. I thought it was in the next couple months.
Okay.
Did you guys all finish it? I did.
No.
I'm up through the Peggy Carter Black Widow one.
Got it.
I was doing so well, and then when I'm at work and stuff, or I've been watching DuckTales when I come home for my lunch hour, so.
Do it for the kids. Do it for the kids.
Yeah. I wish I was doing it for the kids. I'm literally just doing it for me.
I retake back my statement.
I guess they announced that it would be streaming soon, like this year, but they haven't announced when this year. I would imagine if you can look at their schedule, you probably can find a gap and figure out when it'll come out. I believe there is like a gap between like the summer and the November section. So you might see one there like in August or something like that, I would guess. But it was very surprising, as you stated, Corey, like because animation does take a long time, and it's not something that like Bill Burr, who's a comedian, he had an animated show on Netflix, F is for Family. And he always said that like they would write those things, and then like almost 2 years later, like basically 18 months later, they would finally have them animated, and he would see them, and they would come out, and then people would watch him in a week and be like, "Hey, when are you gonna make more?" And he's like, "That literally was almost 2 years of my life," and so it does take a long time, especially a lot of these things they source out to different companies to do, and they're kind of manufactured that way. I thought that the animation looks better this season, more consistent, I would say at least. But that one Christmas episode, have we all watched that one?
With I believe Happy? So.
Yeah. You mean Die Hard?
Yeah, Die Hard. Happy Hulk, he was the only one that looked weird to me. Like his face was very flat, and like there was barely any kind of dynamic movement, and his eyes looked way off. But besides that, I felt like it was the animation's better this season.
Yeah, for a second there, I thought that there was something like that they couldn't show Hulk in this animated show, and then he like shows up later. So I was like, oh, maybe that's why they're making Happy the Hulk kind of thing. Purple Hulk.
Crawl.
Also, I felt like this season, because my complaint from the first season, even though I did enjoy it, was that a lot of things were basically the same story, but they just replaced the character. So it'd be like instead of Star-Lord, it was Black Panther instead of like this. And this time it actually is way different scenarios. Like it really is a what if. And the Happy story is an example of that, where it's kind of like, even though it is that story is basically doing Die Hard, it is in a way not something that we've seen in a movie before. And if you look at the other ones, what was the first one again? I'm trying to remember the first episode.
Oh, that was the Blade Runner Nebula.
Oh, that was really good. See, yeah. Like these, that's what I had hoped from this, is that they would take this series and kind of use it to make stories in different kind of genres. And that story, I think that's a good story to start with, because it was so really unique, I felt like, because it's like the Nebula, first off, her being on the Nova Corps, it's not something we've seen a lot of the Nova Corps in the movies, and then to kind of make it a noir future-based story, I felt like was a good call. And animation-wise, I think it was a good first episode too, because it has a lot of color. So like I've enjoyed it so far, and I would be excited to see more of season 3, and I think it is probably the best thing that Marvel has done in a while.
I would agree. When you guys get to episode 6, they do something pretty awesome that I think works great. I don't want to spoil it if you guys haven't gotten there yet, but
haven't gotten there yet.
But basically, a new character that is pretty amazing. So,
oh, excited for its future. About that one,
yeah, it's probably the best episode of the season, I think. But
wow,
you'll have to wait and see.
Interesting,
Alex. What do you think so far?
It's been fine. I don't know. I still want a little bit more of a what if type of thing. I mean, I liked the Hulk story of doing the Die Hard thing. That was fine. But again, if you're going to rehash even other stories that we have seen, I've never felt like there's anything that was over anybody's head. The stakes that I would hope to have weren't there. Or people who, I mean, even like Peter Quill, when he's, Corey, you on the second issue or episode?
I'm through the first four.
Okay. So when Peter Quill comes down and is wreaking havoc on the town, and he's just this little kid with all this power, and it's fine, but I never feel like any of these characters can die, and I get that's not the point. But I also doesn't feel like it adds anything new that excites me. I'm actually really excited for that number six because it is a character that is new and that is written for the show. That is enticing. But yeah, everyone else has done the work. I mean, we've already seen these characters, and they've been used a lot. This is the point where you bring in something new to impress us and be like, hey, this is someone to be looking forward to in the actual MCU, or hints to that. I don't know. I want a little bit more from it. It's fun to watch, but I also want my zombie number two episode to show up. So that would have been the real Christmas gift.
I can't say anything. So
yeah, I need to watch them. Did you guys ever watch
Love, Death, and Robots?
I did not.
Okay. I've seen some of it.
Fantastic show on Netflix. That's what I always think the What If show was going to be like, where every episode was something different, and they never actually had to tie together. Or if they did, it was in an obscure kind of way, which I guess it kind of is. They're all from multiple worlds, but I don't know. A lot more.
There you go, AP18 himself with his first comments on a Marvel project in probably 4 years. So there you go.
When did Love and Thunder come out? Because that's the last shitty thing I watched.
Love and Thunder.
2 years ago?
Yeah, it might have been last November.
I guess I did see Black Panther, so.
Love and Thunder, but I don't think we really spoke about that much about Black Panther 2. Because I can't even recall off the top of my head what you think of it. July 8th, 2022 was Love and Thunder.
Interesting. I think we talked about it, but maybe Alex hadn't seen it. I don't know. Something happened.
I thought I went with you guys because I thought we went to the theaters. It was one of the last times we were all together.
Oh, yeah, because we saw Namor. We talked about it. We did a review.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't there because I saw
Corey wasn't.
I saw Sierra.
Who cares? Corey,
we all love Namor, and that was about it.
Yeah, Namor, the non-submariner.
Oh, man. He comes out of the water.
I want to get you guys' take on this news story here. It's in the entertainment field. Suicide Squad director shares grim update on the Ayer cuts. He's done with DC.
Nobody wants the Ayer cut. It's not a Snyder thing.
I just find
I swear if I hear what's that damn song that they played for Suicide Squad. Heathens. If I hear Heathens one more time. I swear to God, I just like it was just the most terrible, boring movie I ever rented from Redbox, and I regret the $2.06 that I spent on it.
Corey, does this send a cringe down your spine? Enchantress.
I should not have said that.
I knew. No, he was gonna do it.
Why did I say that? Oh, I hate that song. You heard it here first, Hash Wednesday Comic fans.
Let me put this as a bet as I read his quote here. But believe me, Corey, I am taking this story as a stance, being like, I don't know who asked this guy, but per comicbook.com, Ayer states, "I'm done with DC," and added in a now deleted post. By the way, he deleted this, so it tells you how much he was done with DC.
Can you turn that song off?
Yeah, I'll turn it off. It is distracting.
You know how many people care? Zero.
He says, "Done and done." Very sad. You'll be fine after a good cry. I feel healthier. It's a wound that needs to heal. Nothing about the situation feels good. Studio has no interest in releasing the Ayer cut. It's time to run and not look back. Does he realize, though, that that probably was a one-sided conversation? Like, he says they have no interest in releasing it, but he's acting like, I'm done with them because, like, they were working on something. They never had an interest, bro. They've moved on from that. Probably at least kind of like twice so far. Like that's like two issues.
Did the first Suicide Squad make as much money as Man of Steel, Batman vs Superman? It's like, I know Batman vs Superman is not high rated, but didn't it make a shit ton of money?
It did.
And David Ayer had nothing to do with it.
I think actually, well, here we go. DC Comics movies at the box office. Dark Knight is number one, obviously. Dark Knight Rises, number two. Number three, Wonder Woman. Number four, The Batman. and number five of the Joker. So we're Suicide Squad. To be fair, it is in the top 10, number eight, $325 million. So
I see way more than that. I see that its budget was $250 and it made $872 million.
Oh, I mean, this is from a little website called Box Office Mojo.
Sounds fake.
Okay. So I don't know. I just found that hilarious that I saw that news story and I was like, that's like me having no, like, constantly emailing Marvel. They've never responded to me and being like, you know what? I'm done with that. Those motherfuckers. I'm moving on. They have no interest in this project whatsoever, and it's better just to move on. It's like, bro, they were never interested. Like,
except Steven Yeun just now. Boom!
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, Steven Yeun was going to play Sentry in Thunderbolts, but because of the actor strike, it got delayed, and now it's going to conflict with the schedule of something he's ready to be in, so they're going to recast that character. Which, I guess, is fine. I was interested to see what he would do with it. He actually has become one of the actors that, like, I kind of watch his stuff ever since he left Walking Dead. But I guess now, where did they go? Like, what? I guess what direction are they going to go for a similar casting, or are they going to just go for somebody who is a generic kind of Bob-looking guy? Robert.
It'd be nice if they would break the mold like they did with him and just do who they think is going to be right for the character, not just build the plot.
Right, and I think waiting in the wings is Mr. Robert Kirkman. So there he goes. He could probably take his place.
Kind of invincible.
Isn't that kind of funny, though, that he leaked that he was playing Sentry, and then now he can't play Sentry? So essentially the studios lucked out on that because their big secret, they didn't get to announce it. Robert Kirkman just said it in an interview, and then now it's not even true anymore anyway. So now they get to reveal who that character is going to be. Like in their own, and they're probably gonna make them sign and be like, if you motherfucking tell anybody and this happens again, the mouse is gonna come get you. Speaking of which, actually, some of the early Mickey Mouse, like Steamboat Willie, is now public domain, so you're able to use it and not get sued. So I look forward.
And I saw the reference to a horror movie that's coming out with them in it.
There you go. I look forward to Steamboat Willie showing up in Image Comics. I'm assuming probably in Local Man somewhere. So there you go.
Probably.
All right, I'm sure. I'm sure.
It'd be nice if it show up in Local Demand, the actual book.
I'm sure Chip Zdarsky is already trying to figure out how to put him into Batman. So we'll see. See him, but Willie. One last story here, Corey, and this is I need you really to get into your brain thinking mode on this one here.
I'm ready.
I saw the headline, and that's as far as I got because I thought it. I didn't need any more explanation than what was the headline. It's not really a news story. It was like an opinion piece. And it was stating that the MCU needs to take inspiration. Oh, here it is. The MCU needs a shock to the system. And to revitalize interest in the franchise, they should take influence from the Marvel Max series. So they're saying basically Marvel needs to become more adult for those movies to be interesting. And do you think that's true or not?
You know,
would you say that the downfalls of those movies is that there's not enough blood and violence?
I would say the downfall of those movies, as I've said for day one in phase four, is the shows. Stop the shows. Get rid of them. You guys are doing too much. You need to do 1 to 2 projects a year, space it out, and I don't know. They don't really seem like they have a plan and that they're going to somehow make it come together in phase five, which we just lost Jonathan Majors now to the whole thing. So I have no idea what's going on.
I've heard they're going to recast and not do a new villain.
Well, yeah, but I just know. But even when Jonathan Majors was still in it, we're like, what? Yeah, we know you're leading the Secret Wars, but you guys are doing it in a weird way. Like, you know, the build up in 1, 2, 3. There's like no cohesive thread through phase four, and aren't we in phase five now? See, I don't even know because it's not easy to follow.
Yeah, I believe we are in a new phase. Actually, let me look that up here. I was actually also going to add to what you've stated that. So we were talking about Loki a couple weeks ago, Corey. You've seen all Loki, I'm assuming?
Yes.
And at the end, what happens to Loki? For when we discussed it, me and Garrett, I was like, what's the point of this? And I couldn't really figure it out, like wrap my head around it. But I saw like a clip of that again today, and I think I figured out what they are doing. They are obviously moving towards Secret Wars. And in Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars, a big player in that series is Molecule Man, which we haven't been introduced to yet, at least in the live action MCU. And I think they may be using Loki as the supplement or the substitute, for Molecule Man, because he becomes an all-powerful being. He has a lot of power, and that's how kind of he uses Molecule Man to make the alternate universes. And now that Loki is in charge of all the alternate universes, they will use Loki to be that person. The only question is that going to be Kang or is that going to be Doom does that?
And they should just do Doom. If they want to reinvigorate interest, they should do Doom, and they should have, what's his name? Oh, Oppenheimer.
Clive.
No, it's not Clive.
Oh, Nolan? You're talking about Nolan?
No,
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. Clive?
Yes. To play Dr. Doom there, solved. Because I've heard rumors of that.
I've seen the picture of someone else who thought that on Facebook today.
I would be so down with that.
We are currently in phase 6.
No, we're not.
Never mind. Sorry.
I was like, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Phase 5. Next movie is Deadpool. July.
Yay.
Woo. Well, yeah, which is crazy. I guess it's changing.
They do possibly have that out there, Corey. Do you think they could do the Kang Dynasty as the Avengers movie, and he just, resolves that story, and then you just, boom, right away, Fantastic Four, and then that Avengers story, Secret Wars, you introduce Doom, and Doom just comes in like, I've been here all the time, motherfucker, like, you haven't seen me.
Since we've all seen Loki, I'm kind of like, you could be done with Kang and Loki if you wanted to.
That's what I figured at first, that they were basically replacing Kang with that Loki character. But the more that I think about it, he more fits the Molecule Man position of that story. And so I'm excited. I was going to go back and reread that, because here's the thing that really, as a fan of comic books, makes watching those movies a little more difficult. And I will say that maybe I'm more harsh on them than I would be, because they're based on stories that I love, especially that, like, Love and Thunder, basing it on that story, The God Butcher, and that's a fantastic story. But then when they make the movie, there's barely any kind of relevance or resemblance to the story at all, and it really takes what could have been a fantastic movie and turns it into something that's not as fantastic. So I get excited that they're going to be doing Secret Wars, because I do enjoy that a lot. But then I feel like if I get the hype too much about them doing that story on screen, and then we go there and it's nothing like it, I think that also adds to the disappointment that they've been doing. Because it's not really...
There's one movie that pulled it off well for the Marvel. Do you know what that was?
Let me think. Don't say it until I give an answer here. Garrett, you say one.
That did what right?
Adapted a story.
It didn't follow the comic, but it still was a well-made
Did it well. Adapted a story. They based on a story.
Civil War?
Are you talking about just Marvel, right?
Garrett got it.
Civil War.
Baby.
Yeah, because the actual event in the comic books is like, there's no way they could have done that at that point, so I think it's a nice alternative. So.
Right. So, but yeah, every other one that's like, for example, God of Thunder, Love and Thunder,
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, God, you had it handed to you. You had the material handed to you.
Even at that point in time, the name never should have been Love and Thunder, though. It should have been called, like, Death and Thunder. Or, Thor.
Well, they also tried to cram in basically the Jane story, the God Butcher story. I guess it's part of the God Butcher story with Old Man Thor kind of story. And so when we got to the movie, it just was not a resemblance of any of those. What made any of those good, it didn't display on screen. But, and I would agree, I think Captain America has had the most success with adapting its stories on screen. I think they knew what that. That's what I was watching. So I was watching Avengers Endgame, basically the last battle, and then Iron Man dying, and then the funeral scene. Spoilers if you haven't seen it. It's been what, 10 years? Less than that. But I was watching with my kids, and my oldest, like me, has ADHD, and he's like, he doesn't like to start anything from the beginning. He's like, can we just get to like when it's stuff happening? So I show him a lot of clips of these movies because he is getting used to trying to sit through them. He's not exactly there yet where the boring parts interest him, at least of these movies. So we're watching the end of it, and then I'm watching it, and I'm like, how did they get Iron Man and Captain America to be so great on screen that when they're there, you want to continue watching them? And I think they had the most success, especially with Captain America, of showing what, like, getting that character true. And then now with whatever this new generation of characters is, they keep dropping the ball. Like, where's the disconnect? I don't feel like there's so much love and care put into those characters. And then over here, we got people who are introduced and then not mentioned again for how long?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, yeah, you know, for example, what was that we were talking about the other day? Ironheart.
Right.
I'm just like, I think they half-assed the effort in Wakanda Forever with that character. And it's kind of how I felt about Bendis doing Miles Morales, where it's just kind of like, he got bit by a spider. You have to love him. Where it wasn't until like Into the Spider-Verse or other projects where I'm like, wow, I really resonate with this person as a character. But no, it's basically like, she knows how to build a suit. You must love her.
Yeah, they kind of shoot her into somebody else's story, especially the weight of that story and basically passing the torch. And then you have this character, and in a way I felt like they made that decision to like introduce younger characters into existing franchise movies to kind of pass that torch and kind of be like, hey, this is this version's this person. But in that movie, they had like two happening twice. You had it with Suri, and then you had it with Ironheart, like literally the same time. And it's like, okay, well, this is pretty redundant now at this point, which probably wasn't the original intention. But as I stated, like, they've not been great with figuring out what to do with these new characters and how to introduce them. Like, when you think about it, them to make an Iron Man movie straight out the gate, be like, let's risk it on this character. And he was not really, at that point in the comics, people like to say he was a C-level character, but in terms of his importance to Marvel Comics, he was high up there at that point. That's just after Civil War and all that stuff. Bendis made him a bigger name. Not Bendis, Mark Miller. But like they wouldn't have never to be like, hey, let's introduce a new character these days and be like, let's make straight out the gate Ironheart movie. Like, they're not taking those kind of risks anymore, and there's really not anything, any kind of trust there that they would get that right. Like, if they announced they were going to introduce, let's say, Alex, name a character, younger character. Anyway.
Miles.
Okay, we'll go Miles Morales. If they said they're making a live action Miles. No, that, yeah, Miles Morales. Like, how much are you, and that has nothing to do with any of the people who made Spider-Man, right? And they said they're making it brand new. How much faith do you have that would be good at this point? Like, and they would put care into it. I think they're not, they've shown they're not good at actually making newer characters relevant at all. So, because when I think about the last two phases, the characters that I'm most excited to see again are the characters who've been around already. So, there we go.
Well, yeah. Thoughts.
We had that discussion all the time, but. Deadpool 3 is the next one, and then after that, let's see here. Let me look at that.
Well, we got Echo first.
I'm excited for Echo, and I can't believe they're dropping all five episodes at once. That's pretty sweet.
Are they?
Yeah, they're going to drop all five for what? A binge sesh. Yeah.
Damn, I didn't know that.
I know. Yeah, because I kept seeing all episodes, January 9th, and I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. That's a cool move.
It's got to make you wonder, though, why do that unless there's something else coming out, or I don't know. That just seems odd.
Because when release it's the same thing. It's such a weird, God, no consistency.
I know, but it's nice, though.
So Deadpool 3 is the only Marvel movie coming out this year?
Correct.
I think so.
Yeah, that's what it, according to this. And it's still filming. And yet it comes out in July. But Captain America Brave New World is in post-production and it's come out till February of next year. Is there any danger of it still filming and they're not doing any posts? Because isn't his whole face have to be CGI'd?
Whose face?
Deadpool, Ryan. His mask?
I don't know if they were doing that. They didn't before.
No, doesn't he emote with his mask and stuff like that? That's all CGI.
I'm sure, I mean, unless, you know, again, they run the CGI department ragged, so they're probably working 14-hour days, and so yeah, they're going to get it done in time, so.
I guess they could be filming all the parts with his mask off, and they already have the other stuff going.
Right.
And then after that, Brave New World in February of 2025, and then Phase 6 starts with Fantastic Four, May of 2025, Thunderbolts, Blade, Avengers 5, and Avengers Secret War.
Yeah, it's just like bullshit, 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 and then here's the end of the three phases.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, when you think about these stories that are coming up, like, how does Blade or Thunderbolt, like, factor into that at all?
There's going to be one, it's going to be Secret Wars, where they're going to do, you know, they made Dark World be a reason that you shouldn't have watched it, I guess is the words that are coming out of my mouth. So they're going to try to justify all their confusing bullshit for phase 4, 5, and 6. Marking it here. They're going to be like, oh, well, this needed to happen because of this.
Yeah, but I didn't want to give them that much credit anymore for thinking that far ahead.
They didn't. They didn't think that far ahead, but they're going to claim that they did.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so we're going to get to those movies, and there's still going to be a pile of shit.
Right.
Even with all the flashback from our
projects that were talked about but have no kind of information about, like they just are out there. Armor Wars, we've heard for how long? I'm not sure.
Since they announced the shows.
Yeah. That's still up in the air. They don't know what they're doing with that. The sequel to Spider-Man, obviously. That's something that's in the works. And I feel like that's more of a let that wait and then we'll come back to it versus they have no ideas for that. I'm pretty sure they know what the next trilogy is going to be for that. But
that one only, like, the longer you have a gap in it, that's the more juicy it becomes.
Right.
Yeah, but the older Tom gets.
Well, that's what I mean. They could jump ahead and you'll be older. Like,
well, they could do Spider-Man 4 with Toby in the meantime, so we're fine.
And then the Shang-Chi sequel. I haven't heard anything about that, but they've mentioned it. Let's see here. In 2021, they announced a sequel in development, but that's all they've ever done. So, and then finally, an untitled X-Men film. That was something that Kevin Feige at Comic-Con just said they were planning on making an X-Men movie and that it would differ from the Fox's X-Men film series. That's all it says. So,
interesting.
They've announced those things. Most of those things, it's like, yeah, of course you have no information about X-Men or Spider-Man, but then the other two were like Armor Wars, as you stated, they've been talking about since they basically made Disney Plus. And then the sequel for Shang-Chi, people have been like, hey, when's this thing coming out? Like, you dropped this new character. And I would say out of the new movies, that probably is the most fun out of all of them. And then they just forgot about that character. Like, he's not even mentioned in any other movie. He doesn't show up in any other movie. And that actor...
I laugh that you brought up Armor Wars. I bet Rhodey doesn't even dress up as War Machine in that.
Just out of the suit. Well, I mean, Armor Wars, he might not have his suit, you know? Might be just him walking around in civilian clothes. So we'll see there.
Wow, that's like Secret Invasion. There you go. That's what we got.
Wow.
Oh, no, so that's a better example. That is a storyline in which, you know, you get excited for it. Like, oh, what the fuck are they going to do? This is a big change. This should be a big kind of shock into the system for the MCU to be like, holy shit, how many people were fake? How many people were never really the person? And it's just nothing. That's what I'm talking
about. Hey, you guys got to remember the description for the last episode of Secret Invasion, okay? Nick Fury has to do what it takes to save the world, which is exactly what he did, I guess. Sorta.
Did they ever explain
Secret Invasion?
You can kind of insinuate what happened, but I don't think they've ever blatantly stated it in Civil War, not Civil War. In Winter Soldier, when he says that he's done for a while, he takes off his eye patch and he leaves. I think the next time you see him, he's got the eye patch back, and it just no mention of what that all meant.
He showed up in something with the hoodie and the... It was Winter Soldier. That's what he showed up in after Avengers.
No, I know. No, the end of Winter Soldier. At the end of Winter Soldier, he throws away his eye patch and says he's going like on Rogue because they think he's dead, remember? They think he's dead, so he's like, I'm out of here. But then next time you see him, he's still working with S.H.I.E.L.D. and there's no mention why he did that. He didn't be like, hey, I'll help you guys. I know you're going to go over there and try to stop all this shit. I'm going to come with you and help you out. He's like, no, I'm fucking out of here. And I'm dipping.
Witness protection. Hey, what phase did Secret Invasion come out in?
Four.
That's your answer. They didn't have any. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, I think the next time you do see him, Corey, is that series. Is that series? What series where you first see Storm? Or Sword, excuse me. Not Storm. Sword.
Who?
The space station in space. It's in the Marvel.
That's the end of...
Wait, you're the only one that... You're the only one that's seen it. Are you and Corey are the only ones that have seen it? I saw it on TikTok.
The Marvels?
Saw what?
Yeah, it's at the end of the Marvels.
No, it's in the whole movie. In the Marvels, it's not the end. It's not a secret. It's like right away you see him on Sword. That's where he's... You insinuate he's been working on an intergalactic kind of protection program, but they've never insinuated why and what's going on. I think he's supposed to be involved with that Thunderbolts and that whole thing, but they've kind of actually dropped that too. Like... Remember, we used to get like little hints in every project of them setting up that Thunderbolts theme, and then now nothing. Like the last four movies or four shows, nothing. How about that? Where there was a period of time in Phase 4 where it was back to back to back to back. We had her recruiting people, and then they're like, you know what though? Let's just wait now. These characters, people were cramming for it. Let's give them 2 years to marinate. They'll remember them, obviously. And then now it's just like, there is a, I would say the Marvels, you guys haven't seen it yet, but at the end, there is, I would say, a little hope that they're finally going to get this together, but we'll see.
I saw it.
You did?
When's it dropping on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 45 days, I guess, right? They still doing that 45 days? I think so.
It's been more than 45
No, days. Yeah, you're right. Black Panther 2 took forever to come out on there. I don't know. You would think they would plop that thing on as quick as possible because they made no money. I would say if it's on Disney Plus, it's worth the Disney Plus watch. It's pretty.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it on Disney Plus. I just was like, I didn't really jump to it.
Alex is going to hate the shit out of it because there's no stakes whatsoever. But if you just want a fun romp, it's fine. And there are actually some pretty cool action scenes, too. I'll say that, too, from a director standpoint. There are some pretty cool action scenes. And from that standpoint, if you know, get a little popcorn, Alex, crack open a Corona. And sit back and watch that movie. If you start the Corona early enough, it becomes a good movie.
Okay, so that's what you're saying. Pre-game, then watch it. Got it.
Right, and then you get to the end, you can see them putting together a Young Avengers. So
perfect.
There you go. I had one more story, and I can't remember. Let me see if I pulled up still on a tab. I've been looking up some of these things. I don't know if I closed out of it on accident. Here we go, CBR.
It's like, can you believe we have a top five after this?
Hashtag guest host one. This is the last thing he's a part of because he's an old man and has to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I don't think the other thing was that important. I think I was just looking for stuff to pad your time, but I think we've talked enough about movies and entertainment. So, E.T. King, how can we see you after this? Can I pay a little money to see you?
Yes, again, on the Golden Titanium Patreon channel for $13, you get a minute of my time. And remember, on poopy colored bronze Patreon channel,
poopy colored
for $30, you get an hour, maybe more, of Garrett's time. So, again, maybe this more. Is hashtag guest host one signing off. Stay classy, San Francisco. Goodbye.
There you go. That's his. That's the last thing you hear. That's the last thing you hear of him. His laugh. There we go. There's the hashtag guest host one. Straight out of outside of Milwaukee on undisclosed location. So, still in the house of cheese though. He's still at the top of the cheese. And Garrett, you're more on the side cheese. You're side cheese, and he's top cheese. Would you say that head cheese? He's head cheese.
Could be. I don't know.
Have you had head cheese before?
I have had cheese before.
You like it? Head cheese?
I like cheese.
No, head cheese. You ever had
head cheese? I don't know what the fuck head cheese is.
Alex, you know what head cheese is?
It sounds awful, whatever it is.
Oh, okay. No. Hold on. Let me ask. I know it is not the year of the AI anymore, but I actually, once AI is done, I found actually the best AI. But here we go, Wesker. Can you explain to me what head cheese is?
Sure. I think you might be referring to hedgehogs. They're small, spiky mammals known for their cute appearance. Anything specific?
No, not hedgehogs. Head cheese.
I got it. Head cheese is a cold cut that's made from the head meat of animals like pigs or cows. It's seasoned and cooked, then chilled until it forms a jelly-like consistency. People often slice it for sandwiches or serve it as a cold appetizer. Anything
else
curious about
it? Why does that sound like Skojo?
I know. And people have been saying that, and they keep denying that it's based on her voice. It sounds like her from that movie, Her, where she plays an AI.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting, because I was going to mention that. I said, let me see what they say. And let me see if you bring it up. Maybe just my ear. But no, that is her, 100%. Anyways, you hear that. It's the meat from the head of an animal, and then they like put seasoning on it, cook it, and then let it freeze. So you know, get the nice little jelly on it that, you know, when meat gets cold. And then you cut it again, and you put it on a sandwich.
So no.
Corey's the head cheese, and Garrett is the side cheese. There you go. 2024, it's going to be exciting. You know, I'm going to manifest it. It's going to be such an exciting year in terms of comic books that we're here to let you know which ones to look forward to. And we don't have to – did you guys like – okay, so here's how I did mine. I was going through them, and I was like, I couldn't really figure out how to rank them. So I'm just going to give five – that I found, and this another might be top five, but I guess I could have done it by which one I'm looking forward to the most, but I don't know. Anyways, but if you guys did it in order, we can certainly do it in order, and just know that my numbers really don't mean anything. So
I didn't do an order. I literally just put five things I was interested in.
All right,
well, I did an order, but okay. I only did new things too. I know you said I already had made the list by the time you said it could be.
Well, just that's fine. You're giving five choices out there for people to take a little taste of. I'll start first with my number five. Coming out of what I feel like is a resurgence in 2023 and 2022 of the Western genre, from Image Comics comes a book from Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso, The Blood Brothers Mother, is coming out in May, is the tentative kind of release date. The plot involves three children seeking to free their mother from nefarious hands. And it's basically their mother's been kidnapped, and these three brothers say, "Give me back my mom." And they go after the guy. So, Azzarello and Rizzo, you know from 100 Bullets that it's going to be a very violent book. And so I'm looking forward to a little, you know, kind of like Wild Bunch action from the Old West. So here we go from Image Comics. Alex, let's go with you.
My whatever number I'm going to call it is Transformers. Transformers recently got moved over to Image Comics. I have read the first two issues, and I look forward to seeing what's coming up out of it. We actually get to see the Transformers just kill people. Whether they squish them in their fingers and make a jelly, they might make a head cheese out of them. You never know. Really, really good. The art's fantastic. The artist from Do a Powerbomb, so it looks really good. And when the bloody stuff does happen or the action stuff does happen, it's very good. Lots of blood. Lots
it
of
is,
blood.
It is cool that like IDW's not doing it anymore, because like IDW always makes like 20 series out of one thing, where this is like, well, Image is kind of doing that too, I guess, but Transformers is its own entity book, and there's spinoffs of other series, but
I know what you're saying.
Transformers.
It does feel like it's more focused than it was in IDW.
But I mean, I think the nice thing is that, yeah, you can start with Transformers if you decide to go to Beast Wars. That's really cool too. Or literally tie everything into one book and just expand your universe that way.
I believe actually, Alex, there's the G.I. Joe and Transformers crossover that's happening next.
Right. Nice.
And so
yeah, they've come out with Duke and Cobra Commander already coming out this month. So.
Well, I was going to ask, is the G.I. I know I was going to put G.I. Joe on here, but then I didn't know if I had already missed the it coming out. I knew Duke and Cobra Commander were having their own entrance. Is that the start of the G.I. Joe story?
Yes, and it has not. Mm-hmm. It's not a G.I. Joe book yet.
I will say, as an honorable mention, since you brought it up, this whole what do they call it in that universe?
Energon
Universe. Energon Universe is something that is very exciting to me, as somebody who grew up with these things, more Transformers than G.I. Joe, but I still was into G.I. Joe too. Especially with Robert Kirkman being involved and the people that they have involved, like it feels, as you stated, Garrett. Doesn't feel like they're just trying to manufacture a bunch of comics because they're licensed. It just does feel like they actually have some sort of focus on that. So, Garrett, what do you think? Number five.
My number five is The Infernals. Writer Ryan Perrott or Perot, and the artist is John Pearson. Ryan Perot from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's a book coming out in February. It's about Abe Morgenstern, the son of Satan, has 1 month to live. Before he dies, he must decide which of his three wayward children, Nero, Jackal, or B, will inherit his shadowy empire. So it's basically about the kids of Satan trying to figure out who's going to be running the show. And it looks like the Antichrist shows up. So we'll see what that's all about.
Garrett just says it so nonchalantly. The Antichrist shows up.
Nice. In comic book form, people.
Even in general, I think if it were to happen, I guess he showed. Great.
Yeah. You're like, maybe I want a piece of that throne. I don't know.
If they go for it, we'll see. Who knows? My number four is something that if I give you guys like a 50 chances, you would never guess that this would be on this list, but it's normally not a character that I kind of watch or look at to get their even solo series, but the art by Sanford Green that is going to be in this book looks so fucking good that I can't wait to read this. And this is Red Hood, The Hill, number one. Sean Martin Burrell and Sanford Green. It's coming out in February, the day before Valentine's Day, as you would. And it looks to be like a very violent action-based book. And looks, as I stated before, the art looks fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that.
That was an honorable mention for sure.
I didn't even look at it. Guys, I'm so strong. I ignored all the stuff. I went with Wonder Woman as my next one. I had read the first issue, and I really, really enjoyed it. With Tom King at the helm, it actually seems really interesting. We'll see how long he's going to stick on it, whether if it's the first five issues, if he's going to actually run the ongoing series for the time being. Regardless, Tom King is one of those, I either love his writing or I hate him. And I enjoyed this first issue, which is truly the issue to set the tone is, can you get through the first one and enjoy it? And at the end of it, does it hold your attention for the next issue? Tom King has done so. And the art was fantastic.
It is good. I think it's going to be a maxi, if I am not mistaken, but who knows?
Who indeed knows? Garrett, number four.
My number four is Taking It Back Old School, Batman First Night. It's coming out in March. It's by Dan Jurgens and Mike Perkins. Premises, it's 1939. The world's still reeling from the horrors of the First World War. Is on the brink of tipping into an even more gruesome conflict. And so the Batman has the power, brokers of the city living in fear of collapse. All the evidence and murder investigations divide logic. Okay, it's basically right after World War One, when, like, in the comics, Batman actually showed up. It's doing a modern telling of that, not modern, but... They're just putting Batman in when he first
A
retelling of his first appearance, basically, in that time frame.
So. I will say, Garrett, my number three. There's my number
nice.
Three.
Nice.
Sweet. Mike Parkin's art at the previews that they had for it looks so fucking good, dude.
And, it does look good.
The way it's set up, but coloring, I even looked to be like, is this somebody else coloring this? Because it really looked like a Jordy Blair kind of coloring act. But Mike did it himself, it looks like. I don't see any color, at least on the previews mentioned. And it, as you stated, it's a retelling of his old detective days. But like in that style of when he first came out, like the way that he looks and everything like that. So I'm excited to kind of see, basically, if you bring Batman back to basics and make him depowered down to just being a dude in a suit like that, like a real dude in a suit like that, what kind of stories you can tell. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
Perfect.
Alex, since that was my number three, we'll go to you directly.
I'm going to go with Ultimate Spider-Man. We're going to push it back into the Ultimate world and see how Spider-Man is handled. I believe that's what, Jonathan Hickman?
Yeah.
So we'll see if he can last on for more than, you know, three issues before he gets tired and goes on to something else. But nonetheless, I have yet to read the whole original Ultimate Spider-Man. And I know. Hold your gasps, everybody. This will be my dip into it, much like, you know, when Turtles came out. I never got to get Turtles in 1984. I wasn't alive then, and I can't spend the $15,000.
Do you have any Ultimate Spider-Man?
Like, I have some. Okay. I have a couple of volumes of it, but I don't own any of the issues.
The beginning of volumes?
Yes.
Like, if we wanted to read some of the beginning, you could get started?
I have been able to read, I think, the first 12. I've read up through volume 3.
I'll say with Ultimate Spider-Man, I'll say if you read it now, there's probably going to be a thought in your head of like, how do I say this? I'm not trying to, it is good. It holds up still, but you also have to kind of put your mindset being like, there wasn't a comic like this back then. And in today's world, there's a lot of comics like this, if that makes sense. So like when you're reading it, it did inspire basically a whole generation of comic books. Basically anybody who is like new getting into comics within the last 5-7 years, like they were experiences as a reader. And I feel like a lot of their comics kind of mimic this. So if you go with that mindset that you're reading basically the first version of this type of story, then I think you would enjoy it. Because otherwise there are some arcs you might feel like are redundant with stuff that's come out now, but you just have to know like that was the first time they've done it. So I will say, Alex, and I know Garrett, we're going to skip over you for a second here, but I just need to mention that's my number two. This is all about Spider-Man, Jonathan Hickman. I just am the curiosity factor for that one for me, just to see what happens with it. When you get somebody who is a Hickman, where he's very design heavy, he's very concept heavy, he's very science fiction heavy, and you pair him with the character Spider-Man, who has not really been in any three of those. Like, he's not really, if you think of Jonathan Hickman and his like design work, it's a very lot where a lot of his things look like medical files. They're very kind of like sterile and very much like simplistic, and that's not what Spider-Man's about. Like, he's usually drawn very chaotic and very kind of fast moving. And then also, he, even though he has had some sort of science fiction upgrades to his suits and had it, you know, during big time, had a bunch of gadgets and stuff like that, but if you really think about it, it doesn't have to be science fiction. So I'm curious to see what they do. Like, just as a Jonathan Hickman fan, like, I just am curious what he does with that character, if he totally changes his MO, or if he tries to mesh Spider-Man with what he usually does. So, Aguirre, what's your number three?
My number three is Avengers Twilight. Coming out this month, Chip Zdarsky and Daniel Acuña on art. Premises in a gleaming new world of prosperity. Captain America is no more, but Steve Rogers still exists, floating through an America where freedom is an illusion, where the Avengers are strangers and his friends are long dead. But is the dream? How do you assemble Avengers in a world that doesn't want them? Chip, you know, coming back to Marvel, writing a team book. Like, I always want, you know, I always try to read Avengers books and they usually fall apart because they don't really have a direction. And I'm like, if anybody's going to give a direction, it's Chip. And it's awesome that Captain America is basically the lead of the story. So not only do I get JMS Cap, now I get some Chip Cap. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I would like to interrupt and display my most sincere apologies. My number five. So I had all four of them, and I was like, where's the fifth one that I had? And I couldn't remember what it was. So I went and found one that I was looking at and made that number five, which was that Azzarello and Riso book. But my actual number five, because I just remember based on what you were saying, it's not Avengers Twilight, but something you said reminded me of it, is Feral from our friend Tony Fleece. Comes out this year, and I'm really looking forward to that. Concept alone, art alone, like, I feel like with Local Man and with the Stray Dogs, that Tony Fleece is starting to be one of the people who, like, when he has a new book, you check it out. So I'm looking forward to that Feral book.
Not to get everyone confused, but that's my number two is Feral. And I love the here. Listen to this description. I copied all the descriptions. So that's why.
Go ahead. Cause I actually, I was going to reiterate it, but I was like, I forgot exactly what it's about. So go ahead.
Meet Elsie, Lord Fluffy Britches, and Patch, three indoor cats lost in the not-so-great outdoors during a nightmarish rabies outbreak. Without their humans to protect them, the cats rush to find their way home before they're eaten by the forest full of rabid beasts on their tails. Don't get bit. Don't get scratched. Don't become feral. But yeah, Tony Fleeks, Tone Rodriguez, and Trish Forstner on art. So it's going to look very much like Stray Dogs. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We were lucky enough to be able to interview Tony on our podcast for SuperCon, and we got to see maybe I can't confirm. Maybe we got to see some promotional art. Who knows?
I believe also if I remember correctly, Garrett, we learned a little bit about what the first story would be about. And it was a little exclusive we had about what the book is kind of not only the description, that he spoke about the characters a little bit and about what he expects to get out of that book. So I remember at the time being excited, and then my old man brain totally forgot about it. And then when I saw on the solicits I was looking at, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about, like, this is one of the books that I was looking forward to this year. So and then now, again, when I go to make the list, I totally forgot about it again. Put up on the list. So. There you go. Just a forgetful man. Very old man, Alex. You know, a lot of gray matters happening up here.
It happens.
I don't know what number we're on, but what's your next one that you have to talk about?
So it's old. I mean, it's been out for a while, but I believe it still continues on this year. And I myself just read issue 1 and 2. And it's Batman Superman World's Finest.
Issues Dan 1 and World. 2, excuse me?
Yeah. What'd I say?
You just made me laugh because, like, the book you're looking forward to has been out for 22 months.
Hey, this show is literally going to tell you the five books I am most excited to read. Didn't have to be new.
I know.
It's 2 years old. When I had ordered second issue, and it took me almost 2 years to get the first issue, read 1 and 2, and it was phenomenal. I was telling Garrett that the way the Batman and Superman actually act like they're friends, they actually care about each other. When bad things happen to Clark, Batman's got a sad face, and you don't normally see Batman with a sad face. The art was phenomenal. Mark Waid is one of those writers that, much like Tom King, is either hit or miss. He either writes the book like I want it to be, or he writes some trash that I just can't get over. This was gold, and I could not get enough of it.
There you go. Garrett, let's just exhaust your list out. What do you have left?
Number one, Ultimate Spider-Man, of course. I know you talked about it, but, you know, my take on it. Okay. I like Jonathan Hickman, but I feel like he's a starter, not a finisher. So I'm really hoping that he sticks on the book for what he's intending to do with it. I know he doesn't need to be on it the entire time, but at least don't Black Monday murders us.
What?
But I'm super excited for Marco Cicchetto on art.
Right,
I mean, did amazing on Daredevil. And then, you know, going back to when I first read Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1, I mean, I literally read that in, like, the whole series in, like, 2 weeks. And it was one of the best, most fun reads I've ever done in my life. So I hope it can even touch, like, the gravitas that Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1 had, but I'm excited to see this take on it years later.
2 points on what you said. I feel like even if you're apprehensive about Hickman, the chances that we get some of the panel kind of work that Cicchetto did with Daredevil is enough to keep you to at least attempt to read this book. At least I hope it does if you're a fan of great art, because some of those panels in Daredevil were just like, Jesus, if they did this with Spider-Man and kind of go that route, there are going to be some good pages coming up. And then two, as you mentioned, like in that first arc of the Ultimate Spider-Man, spoilers, Alex, I know you said, how much did you read, six?
I've read the first three volumes at least.
Oh,
so.
Okay. In that first arc, he tells Mary Jane that he's Spider-Man. And at the time, that was a big thing because that was a big change of his origin that he would tell somebody right away and not just trying to lie and be like and give excuses for it, that he actually would let her in and kind of start that relationship a different way. And I'm excited to see what's the kind of tonal shift or what's the big change that they make going forward in this first arc here that will define this series and see. I know already he's going to be a family man, older, has kids, so that's a really different kind of dynamic. But also we had that series that came out during Secret Wars that kind of touched on that already. So it's like also like how do you make it different than what people have been attempting for the last a few years since that story? So
I'm just hoping the Spider-Man editor is like, hey, this is not X-Men, so just keep it about Spider-Man. We don't need a fucking diagram on him walking from a house to a house. You know, like we just need it to be about Spider-Man. So
I do have a question for you, Garrett. Is Corey going to read this?
I believe so.
Okay.
I mean, only a real Spider-Man fan would, so.
Yeah, I know.
So he probably won't.
I only ask because he had bought all the issues of the first one originally. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I would imagine he'd go back and want to catch up on this. Then he can start anew and he could be caught up.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
I feel like there's a possibility.
When does that first issue come out? Do we know?
This next week? 2 weeks?
2 weeks? Maybe we'll.
It's on the 20th, I think.
Maybe we'll give hashtag SS1 a little homework and we can all talk about it. When he calls in Africa.
Oh, not the 20th, the 17th or 24th. One of those.
All right. We'll give until February, the first weekend, Wednesday in February to read it. So
you're going to have to give me more time than that because I won't have it yet.
Oh, that's right. Well, when you get it, you let us know. And that's when that's our sign to go, baby. That's our sign.
Sounds good.
Oh, just kidding. It's next week.
Well, then he'll get it by February. Well, you might get it by that date then, Alex. Who knows? I don't know where I'm at either, but here's the last book that's on my list. I guess it was mentioned earlier, but I thought I would wait just to not overstep and reiterate exactly what Alex said. But Avengers Twilight, Zdarsky and Daniel Kuda, right? It's not in continuity. It's his own kind of story. It's about a postmodern Marvel Universe after the superheroes are kind of not around anymore. It makes me feel like the Watchmen series on HBO, how that kind of felt, where it was these guys used to be here, here's the damage that they left, and how the new people kind of pick up from that and go forward. So I'm excited to see, and I think we will get, you know, little twists and turns where some of these people are still around and just maybe in hiding, especially that green guy. But I'm excited to see where we go with this because I think if you give Chip Zdarsky the keys, nobody knows where the fuck he's going. So I'm hoping that this book is just like one of those books where it's batshit crazy. I don't mean crazy in like there's no consistent kind of story. I mean it's gonna be like blockbuster level kind of like I want to say oh shit at least twice reading this book. So we'll see. Alex, you got any left?
I've got one left, and I don't even know if it's a confirmed book or not, but I'm pulling one out of my ass. TMNT after issue 150.
I believe it is the actual thing that's coming out. I saw it on some list.
If I'm lucky, it gets moved over to Image. If I'm not lucky, it stays at IDW, and I either get to be excited, depending on who's writing. And I've literally done no research. I have not caught up. You know what? Books have taken the back end of stuff.
Right, because we spoke about IDW's out of the game now, right?
I thought that's why everything was moving. Yeah. So I imagined it was going to Image. It only made sense that the other ones.
I believe they are out of the game and they're selling their licenses to make up some money. But I'd be excited too, Alex. And actually, since you bring that up, the last run of two is supposed to come out this year too, based on those other turtles that they had at the end.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that too. That's an honorable mention that was on my list just because that first one was so great. And everybody needs more turtles in their fucking life.
Agreed.
I mean, Alex, and obviously everything about this man that we don't want to associate ourselves with, but I'll just say there was a concert recently that included Mr. Vanilla Ice and Michelangelo. So,
oh really? That's cool.
It was for a certain former president that we will not name because I don't like him. And he was holding a rally, so it's kind of weird that that was the showcase. You know, who would have thought that?
I thought it was Jimmy Carter. I'm sorry.
Who would have thought that? Being like, this guy's running for president and Michelangelo is dancing on stage. And then I don't know, Alex, they all weren't there, just Michelangelo, specifically that one, because he's a party dude. All right? I'm thinking, remember that guy that was a Supercon, the guy who was a stunt guy for that? I'm guessing they just booked that guy, and he's there dancing. So, and I say that it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. It was him and Vanilla Ice, you know, looking kind of old these days, and he was singing Ninja Rap, because that's what you run for president, Alex. Ninja Rap. So,
holy shit! That, I mean, I don't respect that choice. I mean, I respect that choice. That is fantastic. Not for their life choices, but
right. So you know,
the music wise, I can get on board.
As a callback, I think I'm past the point at which I would think to seek the presidency. But who knows? You know, you got to be 100 to get into there. But if I ever get into the White House, Alex, I will guarantee you, within the first week, there's a concert on the front lawn. Michelangelo. You know what? I'm gonna get all of them together. I'm president now.
I said at that point in time, you just bring them back for the. We'll do out of the show.
Yeah, we're just going to redo that shit out there. And I'll bring that girl in, and she'll sing with that guy.
I was going to tell you, make sure you call that girl. She'll bring her
pizza
rotten
party. Michelin.
Listen, that's pizza party. That's a humanitarian kind of duty I got to do. I got to bring her there. Like, how can I have that concert and she's not there? At the very least, I gave her front row if she's not part of the show. So there you go. WednesdayComics.com, let us know what you think of Turtles. Not just the Ninja Turtles, any kind of turtles. We're not going to discriminate that they don't know martial arts. WednesdayComics.com, subscribe to the show. You know what? Actually, 2024, if you break it down to a single digit, that is 8. And so I want every person listening to the show to tell at least 8 people about this show and tell them to subscribe. And even if you've got to take, you know, crack into your grandma's computer, you know, she's probably going to need help getting rid of the 5 viruses she's downloaded since the last time we saw her. And if the viruses are going to take advantage of your grandmother, might as well you take advantage and download this show for her. So,
no, elder abuse right there.
No, download the show for her. She's going to enjoy. This is not abuse, Alex. She's going to learn about almost 15 comics. You know, there's some that we had the same, but at least almost 15 comics that she can read this year. Because there were some honorable mentions in there. She'll have 15 she can read. So that's not abuse. That's love. That's love. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. That's our sponsor there, Mr. Avatar the Green. Go there if you want to learn more about the Swamp Thing, which would be a big thing if you're interested in the DCU, James Gunn's DC going forward. I do know that James Gunn has a love for that character. Why wouldn't you? If you got that green thing all over you. Why wouldn't you? And I know that he's making a movie out of it, and you want to be on the ground floor on this shit. All right? And you know how you also could be on the ground floor, so you go to Rainbow Comics and Call Cards.com, Rainbow Comics and Cards.com, and you can get the books themselves. Alex, you know, they should just sell this as, and they probably do actually, and I'm going to Google it right after this, and if I find it, I'm buying like 20 of them. Just an air freshener that smells like that paper, that pulp. It is probably, I would say, top 3 scents that I enjoy. So,
I told you before, every time I go into my room, it smells like cardboard and paper.
Mm-hmm. If Alex goes blind, he's just going to go in that room for 5 hours and don't bother him. He's trying to get over being blind, but now his sense of smell is enhanced, and he's in euphoria, right? This guy's in nirvana.
You said he's in a locked room?
No, in his office, whatever you
call it. Oh, okay. I was just going to leave him a present.
Nah, so. He can lock the door if he wants to. I'm not going to knock, so we're good.
I assume his sense of smell is really up there, so I would definitely leave him a prize.
So a place that does smell like that also is Rainbow Comics and Cards in Sioux Falls.
Oh, it doesn't smell like that. It's, no. Rainbow Comics smells way better than what I leave for Alex.
Come on,
oh,
paper.
Paper, yes. Paper smells.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lincoln, Nebraska. Go to rainbowcomicsandcards.com for more information on those locations. WednesdayComics.com, while you're there subscribing, make sure to go to the merch page also and get some merch. You know, it's getting a little cold out there, Alex. You need a little hoodie for not only your head, but maybe other parts. You can try to put that hoodie on and see, not the hoodie, what do you call those? The beanie for your top of your head. Maybe your elbows get a little cold, you know, throw that thing on your elbow too. People aren't thinking outside
the
box. You
put the beanie on your elbows?
Well, you buy multiple, obviously.
And cut a hole through the middle?
Yeah, and use it as gloves, and you know, you're saving money doing that. Buy a bunch of beanies. I have a coat. Instead of wearing a coat, I just wear all beanies.
There you go.
There you go.
You just tape them together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm out there looking like the Michelin. I'm out there looking like the Michelin man. You know, I got rolls upon rolls. So, what else? You can find us on the platform known as X, at Was It Comics, at Garot2188, and at the AP Geekin. I think that might be it, boys. That might be it. As we stated, 2024, the year of the eight coming up here. And that means tell everybody you can about this show. This is the year of Wednesday Comics. This is the year of WC. No DC, no MCU. WC, baby. WCP, Wednesday Comics Podcast. Tell your grandmas about it. Tell your aunts about it. Tell your mom's sister about it. That's your aunt. I meant to say your sister's mom, which I guess is your mom. What the fuck? You can't, and none of them work.
Jeez, man. Jeez.
Tell your mom's sister-in-law. There you go. That's also your aunt, though. Fuck. Let's just end this shit. I don't know family trees. I don't know anything about this. So for Wednesday Comics, my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Enjoy that new year and keep turning those pages.